Moving into item number five in an abbreviated way, somewhat. So I'll turn it over to you, Alan.
All right. Commissioners, it's good to see all of you again, and I appreciate the opportunity to give you a quick update regarding the organizational assessment that we're doing. So I want to give you just a little background about where we are in the process. We completed an initial draft in mid-December, provided that to the department, and received some initial feedback from them a couple weeks later. And we are in the process of addressing those comments, either more fully developing recommendations, validating some numbers. So the report you have is actually a work in progress. I just want you to be aware of that. Our deadline for providing the revised report back is next Friday, the 15th. But we tried to incorporate some of the edits that we wanted to make in the version we gave to you so that it was more complete. But it is a work in progress. You are going to have time, and we'll talk about this at the end with the director and a deputy director tell you, but the process we'll use. But you'll have a specific time frame in which you can provide more specific feedback to us. We understand you probably haven't read it in detail. You skimmed it. The goal of this is give you an overview of some key findings, answer any questions you have, and position yourselves so that you can provide more formal feedback to us before we finalize the report. So we have a new report coming, a revised report coming out next Friday. The department's then going to review that and provide final feedback to us somewhere prior to Christmas or so. So real quick overview. One of the things we wanted to highlight at the start of this is that there are a lot of best practices that are occurring within the agency. And when people have an assessment done or an audit done, they're going to focus on any recommendations for changes. We don't want you to lose sight or others to lose sight that there's a lot of good stuff going on. And that includes some of the things we have listed here, including some strategic planning, an organizational structure that may some people view as unwieldy because it's both programmatically based as well as regionally based. But that's a typical approach for a Department of Fish and Wildlife because of the need to focus both on species-specific issues as well as regional issues that vary within different state areas. The stakeholder outreach and inclusion, while you probably get praise for that and negative comments from that, you know, it is fairly time-intensive and well-developed program. We have some recommendations that we're making to expand that, but I think you need to recognize what you're doing. And a strong focus on some core program areas within your area. So we do have some recommendations, we think, for some incremental changes that could help you better structure the organization, better operate, and in some cases address some of the concerns that may be out there regarding financial data availability and timeliness and transparency and so forth. What you will see when you read the report in detail, if you haven't, is we don't have significant organizational structure changes in here. They're more limited. There is some centralization of some of the admin functions, but not all. We've done it where we felt it makes some sense. More importantly, from those changes, it's more likely to result in more efficient services and more effective services, but not significant cost savings. And that may be a disappointment when part of this is you have a structural deficit you're also trying to address. So I've sort of grouped these key findings and recommendations into a couple major areas that sort of lined up with the tasks that we were asked to look at. The first one had to do with the budget review. So we were asked to look at the budget, make some, you know, identify what the core issue was, which I think we all know, but what are some things that you could do to address that and sort of where you're at? So some of the key recommendations we've made in there is you need to continue to push for and work with the legislature to look at some phased approach for fee increases to balance the wildlife fund. That is where the significant concern is. We need to look at implementing, if possible, some automatic cost of living increases. One of the structural problems you have is your costs are continuing to go up every year, but the fees may not be keeping pace with that. Adding to some of the trends you have with changing demographics and usage of some of your permits and licenses, that could create some of the problems that you're facing.
We do talk in the report about balancing some of your project scope of work with the restricted revenue programs, specifically to the revenue streams that are available. One of the things I may have talked with some of you about, we've talked with staff about, is we've recognized early that many of the programs that you're funding from dedicated revenues, because that's where the funding stream is dedicated to, may not be the overall highest priorities of the department, but you're focusing on them because you have money to spend on. So you need to balance that as best you can to do that, but also to make sure your highest priorities are being well communicated, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, so that you really can address your highest priorities as a department, not just where funding is available. We do talk about some methods to increase the information shared during the legislative session, specifically during budget, to explain the consequences of approvals that happen. There are items that they approve without a dedicated funding stream. It needs to be clearly communicated what that impact is on the department, either programmatically or operationally. We talk about some internal things to ensure that all administrative costs are captured and being charged to program funds, so departmental overhead and other things that can be charged to program funds, even restricted funds, should be done. That maximizes your use of those funds appropriately. And then finally, sort of a major change. You sort of made an incremental change towards this a little bit last year, but we are suggesting that working with the legislature to see if you can get 100% of the commercial license and related fees dedicated to the department. It's something that in our review with other state departments of wildlife, they typically have that. Now, your commercial program is much different than other states. It's much larger, more complex. But rather than having that funding going to the state's general fund and then being passed back, it would increase transparency, I think, for that funding to be dedicated to the department, tied to the programs you're providing, and you'd be better able to get a real sense of whether your fees and charges are covering the cost of the services you're providing there. And it's no different than the other license and permit fees that you have coming in that are dedicated to you. Now, that could be done with a net impact to the state. I mean, they could dedicate that to you and reduce your general fund by the same amount. Even that, though, I think is better than doing nothing, because it does allow you then to better look at, track, and manage what those program costs are and understand what the real cost of providing service is. Yes?
Can we comment now?
Yeah.
Okay. However you want to. It's your meeting.
Well, I just want permission from the Great Oz.
Okay.
One thing that I see and it jumped right out at me was ensure that administrative costs are captured and charged to appropriate funding. What comes to mind with me that one very quickly is like hydraulic permits. And after, one, don't let that become a license to steal, where all of a sudden we just keep ramping up the cost because we can think we can justify it because it takes X amount of hours for a technician to go out and do that. Because pretty quick what you're going to get into is a risk reward when you're on the other end going, okay, is it easier to beg for forgiveness than ask
for permission? Great point. And we can add some language in here to talk maybe at a higher level first before we get into some of these. That one approach you could take is setting some cost recovery targets for certain program areas or functions. You know, permitting should be generally 100% cost recovery, unless there's a concern, as you brought up, that people won't get the permit if it's too high. So, but that's a decision that should be made consciously on what your target is, so that you have some way to set that.
And there again, just don't let it become a license to steal, going, okay, this is going to be a good way to fund one of these positions, so we'll just keep...
I agree. No, I mean, we're not saying do this transfer that, but it is appropriate. I mean, financial practices says you should charge legitimate cost overhead to program areas. You want to make sure you maximize that because that allows you to better then manage your overall operations. I mean, ideally, if you could reduce a lot of the restrictions you have on funding, you'd be in a better position as a board and as a management team to make some decisions. That's probably not going to happen overnight, but you need to maximize whatever flexibility you can have.
Well, I just hit my radar.
Okay. No license to steal.
Yeah, done.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes.
One general background question and then one on your last bullet. So I wonder if you could refresh my memory if this organizational assessment is supposed to be an independent review by you all or if it's supposed to be the department's assessment and you're helping us do our assessment.
Great question. It is designed to be an independent objective view. So we have been pretty broad in our review meetings, so the department has coordinated those internally. We've invited members from the governor's office, legislative budget staff. So there's been a lot of people who have had input, but the end result of this and the final report that we issue, we have to defend the recommendation we make based upon our independence and objectivity. So we'll take feedback from everyone. We may make changes, we may not. Where they're factual, we welcome those to make sure we have the best product we have. But it wouldn't surprise me to, at the end, understand there may be some recommendations you disagree with. Yeah. You know.
And so when you hear something from us in terms of an assessment, and you disagree with that, what goes in the report is your evaluation.
Right. We have to be independent and objective there.
On this last matter here, in the old days, the olden days, when there was a Washington Department of Fisheries and a Washington Department of Game, the Game Department got their money from licenses, and the Fisheries Department got their money from commercial fishing revenue and some sport fishing mm-hmm. revenue. And a whole bunch of general fund that was more. So you mentioned something about if you ask for an accounting of this and it comes and exposes that there is a large amount of general fund way above and beyond what the commercial revenues are, that the legislature might say, oh, thank you for that. You should be sustainably funding yourself, so you're going to take a cut on the general fund.
Well, I think that's part of where we talk in here about making sure they're aware of the impacts of that. If you had to be 100% self-sufficient from fees and revenues, we would be suggesting you do a permit fee study every year. You would want to assess, are we covering all our costs? You'd have to go to a next step. And I think right now, you could make that comparison. It's just not as easy because you're pulling funding from a variety of different sources to make that comparison. But I think it would give you a better sense of, is the effort and what we're putting into these different areas being covered by the permit fees? Now, not every program will be 100% cost recovery. There are times when that's not appropriate. And as long as you've made a conscious decision of what that recovery level is, I think that's appropriate.
And you will include an estimate if there's more, if there is revenue insufficient to cover a cost, what the added revenue needed to cover that.
Well, we're not even suggesting that be cost recovery. We're just saying the current revenue stream, rather than going, this year it came to the department and then you're going to transfer some back. But historically it's gone to the state, gone into the general fund, and then they've given you general fund money. Not tied to that. They would just give you some general fund money. We're just saying those revenues should come to you directly, and that should be part of your revenue stream. So we're not at this point suggesting a change in the revenue levels, just, I think, a more transparent way in how they're directed. Okay. The next area then is a grouping that deals with the commission and how the commission is operating. I guess I should say that when we talk about these recommendations throughout the rest of the report, because it has to do with commission, then management and administrative functions, not all of these are saying because you're not doing them now, you're doing something wrong. We're suggesting these are ways to better improve or address some of the issues that have been identified. Here we're suggesting, unfortunately, a little bit more workload for the commissioners, we're saying you should be more actively involved in a few key areas. One is, first of all, making sure that you do a timely evaluation of the director. From my perspective, what that rating is doesn't matter to me, but you should be doing one in a timely manner. That, because otherwise there's concerns about, you know, are you getting the feedback you need? Do staff have the direction that they need to perform? Are you consistent in your goals and objectives? More importantly, though, I think the board needs to have some greater role. And I notice on your agenda you're going to talk later about, you know, your other budget provisos and what your role is going to be. Our recommendation is you need to have a greater role in the budget process. That's not counting paper clips and doing that level of detail. That's what you have the staff for. But you should be setting broader policy direction in how that budget is fashioned, being aware of what the status is and getting periodic reports on how well you're performing to the budget. So as we state in here, active review and approval, and at least a status report at the meeting. Doesn't have to be an action item. It can be just a report back. Here's how we're faring. Revenues are coming in 90% of projected, but expenditures are 110% of what was projected. We have a looming problem. Just to give you guys a heads up so that if action needs to be taken, you know about that. And then a more active participation in the strategic plan. You'll notice in the report we give you some kudos for both the strategic planning, the director's plan, and some other items that you're doing internally, a lot of regional plans. You do a lot of planning here, and that's great. We're just suggesting trying to tie these together a little better so that they cascade down from that strategic plan. That's the one that we feel you should have a greater role in. Not just adopting, because I know you adopted the prior one, but making sure that it reflects what your vision for the commission is. Once you've done that, then you can hand it over on this end of the table, and they have to move forward and implement it for you. And then you get a periodic report on how well they're doing. So it's not a large ongoing effort, but when you do update it, it is an insignificant at that time. So I don't want to, you know, minimize the impact of that. But I think it's critical because that's where you set your policy direction. The EMT is one thing that we think is working well within the department in terms of decision making. It includes a lot of people, and you know, we had some discussions internally on our team and with some staff. Is it too big to be a functioning board? We think it is a good size. It includes representatives from some key areas. In a change we're recommending a little bit later regarding the organizational structure has the potential at times for you to include a few more people into that meeting, you know, with some additional people from finance and HR and IT as needed to ensure that everyone has a voice in the key decisions that are made. The next section is a group that has to do with organization and management. So this is dealing with your overall organizational structure. So we have some process things in here where we're talking about putting some greater focus on clarity of the administrative processes and training of staff to ensure consistent implementation across the organization, enhancing the role of the regional directors in strategic planning. We are suggesting one change of creating an administrative services bureau overseen by either an administrative services director or a second deputy director. What we're basically suggesting is those functions need to be elevated equal to the programmatic area. So under this approach, you'd have a deputy director over operations, administrative operations, and a deputy director over programmatic operations, and then you have your policy. Whether it's a deputy director, administrative services, bureau chief, however you want to phrase that, is less important that they're sort of at that equal level. But I think that's an important change from our perspective. We compared you to other states. It's a common approach that's used in terms of having more than one deputy. You are a large, complex organization. Someone could say you're recommending another manager. Yeah, we are, and I'll stand behind that. I think we're not suggesting a lot of new positions throughout this, and we may recommend some reductions, minimal in some areas, or transfer, I should probably say. But if it's not effectively managed, you're not going to make any progress.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just a little confused about that. I want to make sure I understand.
Absolutely.
When you talk about creating an administrative services bureau, and then you used operations in the same paragraph.
So
I think I can do this quickly. So what are we talking about there? And then you said programmatic, and then you said policy. So I'm just trying to figure out how those all fit together.
Okay. Thank you. So I went through it too quickly. So let me start over. So what we're suggesting is rather than having your current approach, which is one deputy director and a policy director, we're suggesting two deputy directors and a policy director. That second deputy director, we gave you an alternative. It could be a deputy director or an administrative services director. But under our thought is you would have then one is policy, the next one's programmatic, and the other one's administrative services. So let me be very clear there. I think we need to not bury the administrative services too far down in the organization when that's where your real risk is within the organization, or a major risk is, you know, when you have issues regarding IT functionality or human resources and inappropriate handling of issues that arise from there or financial issues. We're saying give them the same weight as you're giving the programmatic areas. And then a more minor change is within the HR director area, specifically reducing the number of direct reports and having that position reporting directly to that deputy. We did take a look at spans of control. That's one area we're going to comment on in the revised report. You know, there were some very broad ones, there were some very narrow ones, but overall, I don't think you're out of line with what we typically see, you know, so that's good. But we did look at that as a way to say, do we have too many supervisors or too many managers? You know, other than in a few select areas, I think generally they were pretty good. The next area then gets into more internal operational things.
Okay, I just got to get you to bed. Yeah. And there again, the more I listen to him, the more I agree with what he's saying. And I'm pointing this to my fellow commissioners, that I think this is some bullet points that we really need to keep in the conversation, because I can really see some value to what he's saying on this. So this being said.
Regarding internal communications, really a couple what I would call minor recommendations. We are reworking this still in part, but we're really suggesting one of the things we heard was sometimes it's hard for everyone in the organization to know what commitments and policy decisions have been made and where the organization is headed. So we're trying to give you some thoughts on ensuring that decisions that are made, especially at the EMT meeting commitments and so forth, that those are widely distributed prominently, that everyone in the organization understands what's going on. If you have a good decision-making process, we want to make sure it gets spread out to everyone in the organization. Because one of the challenges you have, obviously you know this better than I do, is being a widely distributed workforce throughout the state. You know, it's hard to keep everyone on the same page. So even if you're doing well, it's always worth doing better. Regarding strategic planning, I sort of hit this earlier, but I want to go into it a little bit more, just briefly at least. So what we're, from the broad perspective, we're suggesting you have a greater role in setting that broad strategic plan, and then everything else should somehow tie back to that. So when you're developing the budget, you should be talking about the strategic priorities you've adopted. When you're looking at programs, whether they're new or modified, you should be tying it back to that, linking the director's plan to that, so that everything flows down in the organization and it sort of is focused on those things. So it's really some minor things to make sure that that's happening, and then having some performance measures and reporting back to you on what's happening to keep you in that loop. Clearly, the strategic plan needs to include the input from your variety of stakeholders, co-managers, residents, passive users. I mean, you have a whole variety of people you need to involve here. And that's an appropriate time to ask them again for input. It needs to identify the challenges that you're going to be dealing with in trying to make or implement some of these priorities, to put the goals and objectives in some context. We also recommend very specifically a strategic plan for information technology. And the primary reason for that is we are going to recommend in just a moment here to you some new software that you should implement. And it's going to be really important that IT plays a significant role in that, but they need to ensure that their priorities are very clear in how they're going to meet the diverse needs of your employees and constituents. Regarding performance measures and evaluation, you know, we talked about the director's performance agreement several times, linking it to the strategic plan, having the metrics to make sure you know how that's going. Periodic reports, both to you, the legislature, the governor, and the public. You can do some dashboard type things with your strategic planning efforts and other plans to do a very visual update on your website to make it easy for people to understand how you're progressing, where you're exceeding, or where you're struggling. The great thing about publicity of these type of things is it keeps the focus on what's important. If you have a strategic plan and it's not prominent and it's not referenced a lot, people don't really focus on what it says. The more you have dashboard type things that are visual, it's easy for people to stay focused on that. And people know, both employees and the public, that if they're being measured and held accountable to something, they're gonna probably perform better because they're gonna focus on it because they know that's being watched. The next grouping has to do with external communication and public education. This is an interesting one because you do a lot of this, probably more than many other state agencies because of the nature of your work and the groups that you have to deal with. But it's also one we know you get criticized on. So we've tried to give you some suggestions, maybe to further enhance and improve what you're already doing without making work that doesn't have a benefit. And so this is one area where we had some good discussion with staff about some of the approaches, and it's one area we've made some modifications in the report we gave you. We're still making some. But we talked about having regional staff focus on the relationship building and education with the local stakeholders in the immediate area. That's really an important role that they can play to understand the unique aspects of your state. Using whatever input you get from different input meetings and advisory groups in strategic planning efforts, making sure that it's at least considered. You heard a lot of feedback earlier today. You're not going to do everything everyone asked you, but it needs to be given appropriate consideration at the appropriate time and appropriate manner. We are suggesting increasing the use of online tools for public engagement. So this is one where we talked with the department some about enhancing some meetings at the regional level or other ways. But really what we ended up talking with them about is really using some of the more advanced tools that you can get online. So you can do virtual town meetings online where you can have a topic, people can go in and comment on it. You could have a map that shows a project that's underway and people can comment on it. You can solicit feedback in a lot of different ways online that doesn't have to take place from 5 to 6. It can take place over a 2-week time period. So you can expand the individuals you're getting public input from. You may expand beyond the group you're currently getting input from. One of the things staff challenged us to do in this rewrite we're working on is to help them come up with some methods to getting beyond the input you already get. So you get input from frequent flyers who come here frequently to give you input. From certain groups you get input frequently. But you have an entire state population that is consuming your services. You have people that you never hear from. Are there ways to engage them? Are there ways to make sure you're addressing your inclusion and diversity desires with this input? So that's what we're working to help expand this section, is to do that using some online tools. We want to be very careful about public meetings. They're great for a certain purpose. They also take a lot of time and effort, and you don't have the ability to add a lot of staff in this area, so we need to look at alternatives that would not require the same amount of staff time. Similarly, one thing we're looking at maybe including on the commission side, give you a preview here because it's not in this draft, but in thinking about it, is using those some sort of online tools to allow people to submit their public testimony to you in a written fashion. So the agenda gets posted. With the appropriate method, you could have people submit their testimony in advance. It could be compiled. You could read it. And it may provide a way of letting people give more thorough feedback and input to you, and not trying to get everyone in a 1-hour session with 3 minutes each when you have twice the number of people you need. So it may or may not help, but it's something worth consideration, I think. Part of this external communication and public education also talks about developing a strategic vision and plan for that, to make sure that you really are talking, letting people know how you're going to reach out and making sure you're being inclusive in those efforts. Regarding the organizational structure, and this is the one area that is still most in flux right now. So part of our task was to look at your administrative functions, specifically budget was one called out, but also HR and IT and other administrative, against some other state agencies, and talk about whether they should be further centralized and whether there's any cost reductions that could be made from that centralization. some of the numbers we originally pulled from all the agencies were not consistent, so we've worked with identifying a good source of data to use. It's really good on the centralized staff. It's not good on the staff who are decentralized, where we may have a analyst who's doing 50% budget, 50% HR. They may be doing 50% budget, 50% policy. Getting those numbers in a consistent fashion is very difficult. But it's kind of critical for us in terms of making some determinations about whether you're appropriately staffed compared to others. So that's the area we are still working on to some extent. I will say the only area we've currently identified that we are recommending a greater centralization right now is the budgeting area, to put more of them under the chief financial officer, budget officer for day-to-day administration. They may still be embedded in program areas. They may still focus on those. But part of the concern we've heard from many people is getting consistent information, making sure information is appropriately coded appropriately, so that when you get requests from the legislature or legislative budget staff for information, you can provide responses timely. So that is one area we've proposed. We are suggesting that you look at some budgeting software that you can use as an interface for the department to give you a greater level of detail. But the challenge here, quite frankly, is going to be one that allows it to interface with the state systems so that you're not duplicating effort. But you do have a complexity that not everyone else has, and we recognize that. We're cautious on software because it's not an immediate benefit that you see back from that. It takes time to implement. But I think to get where the department wants to go, to get where people want to see you go in terms of providing information and being able to track things, you're going to need something other than what the state is providing. And then the last one is reevaluating administrative staffing levels, and that's the one that I mentioned we're still working on. There may be some areas within there where we can recommend some adjustments over time to bring you more in alignment with some staffing levels with other agencies. Principally, we're talking about potentially IT and HR or purchasing procurement, but we don't have final recommendations there yet based upon the new data we're reviewing. Sorry, Commissioner?
And the question is on that point. When you look at other state agencies compared to ours, are we too heavy in existing administrative staffing, or are we too light compared to these other
okay.
ones?
Okay, so I can only give you a partial answer because this is the one we're still working on. From the central staffing perspective, those who are in a central HR, central budget, central IT, you're sort of in the middle of the pack. You know, we looked at three other state agencies. In every one of those areas, in some cases, there are people lower than you, but in every case, there's somebody who's higher than you. So there may be some potential there. The unknown right now is when we pull in what's decentralized and look at the whole picture of what you're allocating there. And I don't have a good sense of that one yet. So that will be in the next draft that you get, and you'll have it. We'll be able to more clearly answer that. That's a hard one in terms of what we haven't identified right now is it doesn't appear that you are significantly overstaffed in all those areas, and centralizing them would allow you to significantly reduce the administrative cost. If you centralize, right now our perspective is, like with the budget staffing, for example, we're not actually suggesting a change in the budgeting staff, but we feel you'll get some efficiency and effectiveness by having them under the control of one person. So you don't get any cost savings, but we think you can get some improvements in operational impacts.
As a follow-up, so in terms of administrative staff as a definition, you mentioned budgeting and HR.
HR.
We've got an executive assistant here who, in my mind, is administrative in nature. And I presume in the fish program and the wildlife program, there are folks that do that kind of thing. Is that not administrative in your
definition? No, it is, but specifically we were asked to look at some administrative services areas, specifically IT, financial, contracts payment, purchasing, HR, IT, I said those type of sort of internal services to the agency to make sure that we didn't, you know, do we have the right number of HR staff for an organization our size? Do we have the right number of purchasing and procurement staff? One of the cautions, and we've talked with the departmental staff about one of the challenges in this, is We have to be careful, and the readers of our report have to be careful. We need to highlight this. You can't just do a benchmarking comparison on those staff surveys because your processes are very different. You know, you may be much more, because of the number of contracts or the restricted funding, you may need to be heavier on financial processing staff than others. HR is a little easier. We have to account for seasonal staff loads. The great comparison there is you're all the agencies are state agencies, so you're working under the same general HR programs and practices and procedures. So that one's a little bit more direct. Contracts and purchasing, though, could be based upon the number of POs or contracts you issued. That can vary greatly from department to department. So it's not, you know, we need to be careful how we use it. They give us a broad sense of how you compare. But yes, from a bigger perspective, administrative support staff are also part of that broader administrative grouping. So that's a quick overview, maybe not too quick, but that's a quick overview. Yes, go right ahead.
Can we go back to the last?
Yes.
So that last bullet is, I keep thinking about it, you say you're still working on it, but it reads right now, reevaluate administrative staffing levels and bring in line over time with staffing levels seen in other agencies. But then what I'm hearing from you is what your current evaluation is we're really out of line. And I think that's something that when this proviso was developed, they were looking for. I worry about that language then, because it implies to me that we are out of line.
Well, okay. So this great point. So when we first reviewed this draft with staff, we had some agency numbers that we think are incorrect, and so we're going back to check with the other agencies because we did have a specific area that we recommended reduction over time. But because we're reevaluating those numbers, I pulled that out of here because I don't know yet whether you are or aren't.
Okay.
There may still be some potential areas for modification over time. There may not. I feel confident right now for the central staffing, you're not. It's a fairly tight cluster for the most part in each of those areas. It's the decentralized piece now that we're still trying to get our hands around for you.
I have one follow-up, sort of. It's sort of a follow-up. And on this issue of decentralized staff, what I heard you talking about was reporting lines. What's the current reporting line? Are they regionally reporting then?
Well, they can be within programmatic areas.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they're not reporting to the central staff, but they're performing important duties, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So then a quick summation of next steps, and I'll ask the department to weigh in on this also for the date. So now that you've had a quick overview, you have a draft in front of you, you can fall asleep reading it. We need to give you some time to give any additional feedback, and we'll ask Tammy to help us by making sure you know, you can coordinate with her to get it to her, and she can pull it together and get it to me or remind you when it's due. But the department's going to set a deadline. We're going to get them a revised report by the end of next week, the 15th. That's the date was already established. They are going to review that and provide any further feedback to us along with your feedback, and then the final revision is due back January 5th. And then after that point, there'll be scheduled presentations. I think are we doing a final one for the commission and then and to the legislature? All right. So those will be scheduled at a later point. But because of the timing, we wanted to, and because you have a meeting here, it sort of provided a good opportunity while it's still in draft stage to give you a quick overview, let you see some of the report, give us some feedback. I promise to take it seriously. I don't promise to make every change you ask, but I will take it seriously. And our goal is, yes, we've been asked to do this independently, objectively. The department has been clear from day one that they want a great outcome because they want to use this as a way to move forward and move beyond some of the issues that have been there. And so, I mean, I think that's the best of both worlds, that if the department, the commission, and the external other state entities and involved parties, legislature, and the governor's office, all are moving forward in the same direction. You can put some of this stuff behind you and move on to the big policy decision you have to make. So,
yeah, Joe.
So just to be clear about the timing, and commissioners, what you have in front of you now is 90-95% complete. And Alan talked a little bit about the couple of areas where he's gathering more information, and there are some other smaller edits that we had sent his way that he needs to think about. But what you have is for the most part, you know, 90-95%. If we were to get the 100% version on the 15th and then comments back to Alan, say by a week from then, the 22nd, would that be sufficient? I mean, you have the document now that you can review. You'll get that 100% by the 15th, next Friday, and then a week for us to turn comments around to get back to Alan so he can produce that by the 5th. Is that sufficient?
All right, yeah. Yes. I'm seeing nodding heads.
Does that work for you, Alan?
It works for me.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Since you're eating into your lunchtime, right?
So what